die at the same time, and they get to heaven. And they get up to heaven there, and they finally get in, and they meet God. It's going to be great when we get to meet God, isn't it? But this is a joke. This really isn't going to happen in heaven. But they get up to heaven, and they meet God, and these three fellas do, and God says, okay, your body's laying in a casket, and they're looking down at you. What do you want your friends to say about you? Well, okay, the first guy says, he speaks right up, and he says, Father, he says, I want him to say that I was a good father and a good man. And God says, well, that's pretty good. And he looks at the second one, he says, well, what would you want them to say about you? He says, well, I want them to say I was a good Christian, a good Sunday school teacher, I was a neat guy, and I loved God. And God says, wow, that's pretty good. He looked at the third one, and he says, what do you want them to say? And he says, I want them to say he's moving. So I don't know. But anyway, open your Bibles with me tonight, if you would, to Genesis 37. Genesis 37. I wanted to give a joke that wouldn't take too much on a Sunday night to think about it, but Genesis 37. You know, there's two people in the Bible who have nothing negative said about them, only two. And if you look it up and you research it out, you'll find it's Daniel and Joseph. Tonight I want to talk about Joseph, and I want to talk, my sermon's entitled, When Temptation Comes. And my dear friends, if you haven't realized this, it's not if temptation comes. It's when temptation comes. We live in a world today that's just filled with temptation. We live in a world today where media and the devil projects himself through media and through people and wicked things and politicians and all kinds of things. The devil uses whatever he can. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. But he certainly can project himself. And folks, we need to be very careful as we go through this life. We get to serve a great God. And I believe most of us here are twice blessed. We're saved and we're Baptist and we're in the right book. We know what's going on and we got a responsibility to God. And I want to talk about that tonight. I want to talk about when temptation comes. So here we are in Genesis 37, starting in verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told if his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, that this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in a field, and lo, my sheave arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheave. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made abasement to me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night. I thank you for Landmark Baptist Church, the pastors, these people. Dear God, we pray tonight. We ask, Lord, if there's someone here, we beg you, if there's someone here who's not saved and they've snuck in under the radar and for whatever reason they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we beg you, Lord, that none would ever see the gates of hell. We pray, Lord, if there's someone here tonight and they need to hear something from your word and spiritually they're hurting this evening, physically they're hurting, whatever the case may be, God, comfort them. Oh, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us. I wonder, Lord, if there's some here who need to be called into your service to perhaps to serve as pastors or missionaries or teachers or just to be better Christians. I pray, Lord, if you have something that you need us to do, that tonight would be the night that we surrender to do that for you. We love you, Lord, and we need you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Many of you are aware of the story of Joseph, and it goes back actually to his dad, Jacob. And you remember Jacob, and I tell college students a lot about this, but Jacob came along and he found the love of his life. And many of you remember the story. He found Rachel and he wanted to marry her. So he went up to her dad, Laban, and all dads are not created equal, fellas. I've got to be upfront with you on that, all right? Some dads are a little bit harder than other ones, but he went up to Laban and he really liked Rachel and he cut a deal. And you all know the deal. He says, I'm going to work for you 7 years. And when I'm done with those 7 years, Laban said, when you're done with those 7 years, I'll let you marry Rachel. Well, you know the rest of the story. He works for him 7 years. And on his wedding night, I guess weddings were a little different then. They must have had the lights off and things of that nature. And they got together and had a big dinner. And next thing he knows, he's with the wrong woman. And folks, he immediately goes back to Laban and he says, hey, man, what's going on here? We made a deal for Rachel. And he says, well, he says, you go through this week of your honeymoon or whatever, and we'll hook you up with Rachel, but you got to give me another 7 years. Well, you want to talk about a dad getting 14 years labor out of somebody. You guys think you got it tough just going to meet some parents, man. These were tough in those days. And time went by. Well, anyway, it comes along. Leah's just having babies all over the place. And God really blessed, and they're having babies. And then Rachel gets together with God, and God blesses her womb. And she has a baby, Joseph. And we know how much that Jacob loved Joseph. And time went by, and Joseph had these brothers. And this is where we are. In chapter 37, we come along, and Joseph tells his brothers about a dream. And there's some sibling rivalry going on here and some jealousy, I guess. But he tells his brothers about a dream. He says, listen, he says, I had a dream. And he said, my dream was this. There were these sheaves, 11 sheaves, and there I was up above all of them. And they said, wait a minute, dude. What you're telling us is someday we're going to bow down to you. He says, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God gave me a dream. And that's the dream he gave me. I don't understand it, but that's what he gave me. Well, the brothers didn't care about that. They said, wow, he'll never be in charge of us. And then we see he says he has another dream. And he says, listen, I had this other dream. And this other dream I had where 11 stars came down to me. And plus the sun and the moon. They said, wait a minute. What you're saying is we're going to worship you. And so is mom and dad. He says, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God gave me a dream. And I want to tell you about it. I want to tell you what God's doing in my life. And boy, they didn't like that. So they take off out in the field. And we catch the story there in 37 where Joseph goes and talks to his dad. And his dad says, you know, go down to Shechem and get out there and work in the field where you're supposed to be. And he takes off. And we know that. And he gets out there and someone said, no, your brothers went over to Dothan. And we see him over in Dothan. And sure enough, the brothers come up with this deal. And obviously they're scheming and they're talking about, should we kill Joseph? What should we? And I think my brother and sisters may have talked like that about me at one point in my life, Pastor. Should we kill the guy or what? I know they tried a couple times. But you know the deal. They're talking about killing him. And then Reuben speaks up and Reuben says, you know, we shouldn't kill him. We can make some money off this guy. He's a good-looking troop. He's a hard worker. He has dreams and then interprets them and stuff. And they throw him in a ditch. And along come the Ishmaelites. And you know the rest of the story. They sell him. 20 pieces of silver, and Joseph is gone. So immediately, the brothers have to cover up the story and everything that went on. So immediately, they grab his coat of many colors. I was looking a couple days ago, as I was writing this message, I looked up on the internet if there were any paintings or early things about that day to depict that coat of many colors, and I found a few. One I liked in particular was Giovanni Ferrari had this beautiful painting. It took your breath away of the coat of many colors dipped in blood, and they slaughtered these goats, and they dipped this coat of many colors in blood so they could cover up the story, and they could go home and tell their dad, hey, Joseph's dead. Someone must have got a hold of him. There's nothing left but this coat, and it's covered up with blood, and we take on the rest of the story, and time goes by, and Joseph gets sold, and then over in chapter 39, if you turn there with me, I want to pick up the story there in chapter 39 and verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard. Folks, that's like being a four-star general. That's like being the joint chief of staff of the military. It says that an Egyptian bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. You know, as I was reading that the other night, I looked at that saying over and over again, he was a prosperous man. And I said, he was a prosperous man. I mean, here's a guy that was sold for 20 pieces of silver, and he's a slave, and he's being dragged around. But you see, God doesn't measure us by what we have. God measures us by what we are. And sometimes we need to stop and look at that. It's not about what you have, folks. It's about what you are. And you know, as you leave this life and you stand in front of God one day, remember that it's not about what you have. You know, we're taught as kids in the world out there want you to think that, man, he who has the most wins. No, it's he who loves the Lord the most and serves God and has the right character and the right ideals. That's the man that God loves. And he says he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house with his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Boy, when God blesses folks, he blesses them, doesn't he? You can see it. You can see it all over them. People say to me all the time, they say, Brother Carragher, you get out, you're in a few churches, you're here and there. What makes a difference? And I said, God. You know, you really can't sit down. I mean, you can say they're transparent, they love God, they're reading the Bible, but it's God. God picks people who talk good, can't speak good, stutter. God picks people who can sing, can't sing, and God blesses them. It's not, you know, it's about who they are. It's not about what they are. It's not about what they have. It's about who they are and what they are and how they serve God and things of that nature. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. and he made him overseer over the house. So he continually got promoted and is his slave, and before you know it, he's overseer. And all that he had, he put into Joseph's hand. And folks, you want to give somebody some respect, give them all you have. Give them your checkbook. Yeah. Give them everything you have. So Joseph, take care of this. This is how significant this is. He gave him everything he had. Everything. That's significant, folks. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Not for the Egyptian's sake, but for Joseph's sake. People tell me all the time, say, Brother Carragher, I don't know why God has me working for unsaved people who are wicked. I do. God wants a light there. God sent Joseph there. God wants you to start to evangelize. Praise God. Amen. God wants you to make a difference. See, you don't become part of them. They become part of God's family. Amen. That's the plan. We don't drop down. We don't turn into them. We don't turn into the world. And it says there, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand and knew not what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now, folks, this is where we pick up the sermon, when temptation comes. Temptation's going to come, folks. We all know what that line means. Lie with me. Lie with me. Temptation comes in many forms. It's not all morality. It's not all those types of things, even though that's very strong. It comes in 8 different areas. I'm going to share with you real quickly, then I'm going to give you 3 points. I believe I wrote down these things. These are the greatest areas of temptation. And these were a survey done 20 years ago of 1,000 Baptists, and this is what they said. Greatest areas of temptation in life. And folks, all of us have a button. All of us have a sin in our life, and the devil knows what that sin is, and he goes right after it. And folks, you better give that to God or he's going to keep on going after it. And these are the top 8. Materialism. Boy, you want to talk about a sin, that can be. Pride. Self-centeredness. Laziness. Laziness is a sin, folks. We had a 2-way tie between anger and bitterness and sexual lust. Number 7, envy. Number 8, gluttony. Number 9, lying. Boy, the Lord can tempt us. I mean, the Lord, God of this world can tempt us, but the Lord can deliver you out of them. I want to make 3 points tonight as we look at this message, when temptation comes. And those 3 points, before you fall into sin, before the devil grabs you and pulls you into sin, and temptation gets a hold of you, I want you to remember 3 things tonight. First thing I want you to remember, point number 1, is consider the distrust. The second thing is consider the dishonor. The third thing, consider the disease. Look with me at verse number 8. And he refused. And folks, that's the first thing you do as a Christian when temptation comes. You refuse. That's right. You refuse. That's where it's at. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. You see what Joseph's saying is, I'm considering the distrust. I'm trusted by my master. He has laid all this upon me. He has given me all this. And he trusts me, and I'm not going to defy that trust. I'm not going outside that arena. You know, folks, when you lose someone's trust, it's so hard to get that back. God alone can get that back. Folks, consider the distrust. Folks, when we do things in this world, when we get in those places where things are available and sin is readily available, consider the distrust. You serve a Lord and Savior who trusts you. You have a wife or a husband that trusts you. You have a boyfriend or girlfriend that trusts you. You have people you go to church with that trust you. Consider the distrust. For just a moment of pleasure or just a little sin, consider what it's like to lose all that trust. Consider what it's like to start all over again. Consider the distrust here, folks. I'm reminded of Augustine. Augustine is someone in history that we read about in Christian history. Maybe not the greatest guy, but I love reading the story of how he was approached by a young lady that had been a conquest of his many years earlier. And he saw the young lady from a distance, and he tried to get away from her, and he started moving faster and faster to get away from her, and he kept on going and moving and moving and moving, and she kept on chasing him. And finally she said, Augustine, you remember me? You remember me? I'm so-and-so, remember me? He says, I know you, who you are, but you don't know who I am anymore, praise God. And folks, people ought to know that you're someone different today. Consider the distrust. Consider the distrust as you think about temptation. Don't fall into temptation. Don't give the devil victory in that area of your life. Know what your button is. Know what your problems are. Pray about it. Give it to God every day. The Apostle Paul had to. We serve a great God, and he can take that from you. He can take that from you. Consider the distrust. Point number two, consider the dishonor. I don't know about you, but I just want to serve God with honor. I want to have a wife, and I want my wife to know that I honor our relationship together. I want to have friends, and I want them to know that I honor God. I want them to know that there are things that come first in my life. Folks, consider the dishonor before you fall into temptation. 1 second. 1 second, and your honor, your character, everything, your self-respect, everything's gone. Look what it says in verse 9. There is none greater in this house than I, neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He says, look what I have. You know, Joseph's standing there and said, man, my brothers, they beat the tar out of me. They threw me in a ditch, and they sold me for 20 pieces of silver, and they built this big elaborate scheme, and then I came up here, and I was sold to my master, and my master now owns me, and I've worked hard for him, and continually I'm moving through the ranks, and I could see God's hand on my life. I could see things going on, and I'm not going to do it. You know what I was thinking this morning, Pastor, as I reviewed this, as I was looking at it for tonight? I was thinking, you know, Joseph didn't have an independent Baptist church. Joseph didn't have a pastor. Joseph didn't have a completed Bible. Joseph, you know what Joseph had? His God, and that's all it takes, folks. That's all it takes. Consider the dishonor before you fall into temptation. It's so easy to fall into temptation. It can happen that quick. Not too long ago, I think 4 days ago, my heart was broken. I was out in Kansas City, Missouri, and just a little bit out of town, and I was preaching a Bible conference, and while I'm there, these folks assemble. They have a gluing and a binding machine and a wonderful group of people out there, and every year they do about 30,000 or more scriptures for our military. And while they're doing this, we help out during the day, and we get to I get to preach a Bible sermon every night or something that would help them, kind of like a revival type of thing. And we're just banging out things, and boy, did the devil attack. And then the first day, I got a call about 4 days ago, and it was a brother, a missionary overseas, and he said, Brother Carragher, and I could hear it in his voice. I said, what's wrong? And he said, Brother Carragher, it's back. And I knew what it meant. His wife has a tumor wrapped around her vocal cord, and they had just operated, and she was okay a year ago. And I said, Brother, I love you. It's going to be all right. He said, I know we serve a great God, but it's back. Pray for me. I hung up the phone, and about 3 hours later that day, my phone kept vibrating. I was back there doing Bibles, and I finally went outside, and I called. It was one of my missionaries. He said, Brother Carragher, stateside missionary. He said, Brother Carragher, he says, you know I love you. When someone says that to you, you know something's wrong. And I said, what's wrong, brother? I love you too. And he said, I let my wife down. He says, I let my God down. I let my family down. He lost everything, folks. 1 second.
Right.
1 second. And he said, 1 second after it was all over, he said, Brother Carragher, I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah.
He said, Brother, he said, it was terrible. But you know, Proverbs, and it warns us, it says, stolen waters are sweet. And we get this notion in our mind, and we see these things, and we say, man, this is going to be better. Life's going to be so much better if I fall into this sin. It's not. This missionary lost everything. Yep. Folks, there's hundreds of people walking around this earth today who are saved because this guy surrendered and God used him. And he could have used anybody. I know that. But this was a man of God serving God. He had everything going for him. He was one of the more successful missionaries we had. 1 second. Folks, consider the dishonor. Consider the distrust, consider the dishonor, and third, consider the disease. Look what it says here, starting at 10, it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, and she was after him, and that's the way the devil is. He knows your spots. He's coming after you. That he hearkeneth not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in his hand, and he fled and got him out. You know, I was thinking Joseph's probably the only person in Scripture who lost two coats as we. Folks, this is a time where she grabbed a hold of him. And sometimes sin's going to be right there, and it's going to be grabbing a hold of you. And there's a lesson there. He just left his jacket and ran. You say, well, Brother Carrigan, what does that have to do with me? When sin comes, run. Get out of there. Get away from it. Don't put yourself in that situation. Consider the disease. I remember getting down to the Sergeant's Major Academy in El Paso, Texas, at Fort Bliss. And we all showed up, and one of my friends was a great guy, and he was married, and he had a couple kids, and I was married, and I had a son. I had another one coming on the way, and my wife and I lived right down the road from the school. We were constantly, those guys who didn't bring their wives, we were constantly inviting them over the house and trying to be a blessing to them. And this one young guy, I got to be a good friend of his, and I talked to him. And I remember we started talking all the time, and I'd hang out with him, and we'd run. We were running all the time in El Paso, And I remember one day he came over to my house. He says, I need to talk to you outside. And I said, oh, no, something's wrong with his wife. Something's bad. You know, because he always just busted right in the house. And my son would crawl up on top of him and have candy in his pockets and stuff. And so I ran right outside with him. And I said, what's wrong, brother? And he said, Brother Carragher, he says, about 3 weeks ago, he said, I met a girl over by the Mexican border. He said, I wasn't thinking. He said, I just thought it was a temporary thing. And he said, before you knew it, he said, I just was going to hold her hand. He said, I just wanted to hold her. He said, I just wanted to see her. And he said, well, one thing led to another. And he says, brother, I have AIDS. And I said, what? He says, I'm HIV positive. He says, I have a wife and kids. I've been in the Army for 20 years. This whole world ended as we know it. Yeah. Folks, he died and went to heaven a couple years ago. But consider this. Consider the disease. Sin always comes with a disease. Sin always comes with a stain. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, sin always stops you from getting to where you want to go. Consider the disease. Consider the stain, my friends. It's there. It's real. Joseph got through this, and you know what? His master came home, and you know the rest of the story. He got jailed. He got thrown in jail. Now remember, this is a 17-year-old guy who gets sold into slavery. He gets sold to Potiphar and his wife. He works his way up through the ranks. And the next thing you know, he did everything right. And he served God. And folks, sometimes you're going to do everything right. And sometimes things aren't going to go the way you want. Get over it. It's not about you in this whole thing. It's about God. Amen. You got to let that go. Sometimes things aren't going to work. And sometimes the job you love, it's going to go away. And sometimes the things you want to happen aren't going to happen, but God has a plan. And Joseph left that jacket in there, and he bailed out of there, folks. And he ended up in jail, and he got there. And you know, he met the butler and the baker, and you know the story. And it wasn't long he was in jail, and God blessed him there. Even in jail, before you know, he's in charge of the other prisoners. Before you know it, God's lifting him up there. And he's telling this butler and this baker about his dreams. And before long, finally, someone remembers after he's been in there for years. Someone remembers, hey, I know a guy who can interpret your dreams. Pharaoh, I know a fellow who can do it. And they send for him. You know the rest of the story. He's second in charge of everything. And boy, you want to talk about a guy who could get his brothers back? You want to talk about a guy who could just click his fingers and have them killed? Put him in jail forever, and they show up begging for food. And you know, we go back to where we started tonight in those sheaves. And one up, being above them. And sure enough, that's what happens first. His brothers come out. They leave Benjamin home, and the rest of the brothers shoot out there. And they sit down, and they're telling him they need food for their family. He does the question, and you know the story. And he sends his brothers home to get the little brother. And they keep one there, Simeon. They accuse him of spying, but by keeping the brother there, he knew they'd come back. And they went back and told Jacob, and Jacob said, well, now I've lost Joseph, and now I've lost another boy. And they said, and Reuben said, listen, you can take both my boys. I'm telling you, I feel comfortable about this. So they all go back. And you know the deal again. Then they send him back, and they get the dad. And before you know it, the whole family is bowing in front of Joseph. And he forgives them. Where are you at tonight with all this? Where are you at with your Christian walk tonight? When temptation comes, you better do a few things, my friends. Joseph got to change the world because God used him. Yes. Joseph got to be someone special. When temptation comes, it's going to come. It may not always be sexual. It may not always be materialism. It may not always be pride, but the devil knows what your button is. And folks, every one of us have a button. Every one of us are wired in a way where we have a button, and God's the only one that can fill that button. The devil can't. Don't let the devil fool you on that. Consider the distrust. Consider it before you do anything. Consider the dishonor. and consider the disease or the stain on your life. That's what Joseph did, and look what happened in his life. Wow. Wow. God used him to change the world. You want to be used of God tonight? You want to be used of God in this world? Run when sin comes. Run. Know that God can use you in a powerful way, and he will. I promise. Boy, God takes his servants and he holds them up. He holds them up. Heavenly Father, we're moved tonight at your word and how you take people, old sinners like us, and Lord, you use us for your work here on earth. We know, Lord, in just a second our lives could change. But God, we come to you tonight and we wonder, Lord, if there's someone here who's right on the cusp, right on the edge of falling into temptation and sin. And God, I beg you, if there's someone like that tonight, that they would get that right. Lord, I wonder if there's someone here tonight who hasn't served you the way they should. Oh, please, Lord, work on their hearts. Point them in the right direction. Show them the will of you for their lives. God, I pray and I beg you one more time as the pastor comes, I beg you. There's one here who's unsaved and they listened to this message tonight and they could not believe a man named Joseph was so resilient, was so humble, was so real. Oh, God, do that in their lives, we pray. Save them. Lord, let no one leave this building and ever see hell. We love you, Lord, and we need you. We need you now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.